Charlie, I hope it's been a good few days for you. And again, we'd kind of like, I think, both sides, Alabama and Auburn, to go ahead and skip past what's next, ready to play that Iron Bowl once again. But it's a fun time of the year, that's for sure.
Yeah, it really is. And, of course, on the Flames, Chris, everybody is really sort of dejected and kind of alarmed a little bit at the way that Auburn played against Georgia. It was a game that Auburn started out in good fashion. They took the opening kickoff and drove downfield, got the touchdown, and then they stopped Georgia, and it looked like that Auburn was off to a good start. They'd been really, stressing the need for a good start, and then Quan Bray fumbled the punt, the punt return, and from that point on, Auburn offensively and defensively was just really outplayed. I mean, the thing that was a little alarming, it wasn't so much the Auburn defense, although that in and of itself is a great concern, because it's been that way. Since the South Carolina game, Auburn has given up over 450 yards a game and 35 points a game. And so you really thought that Georgia was going to be able to move the ball on the Auburn defense and score some points. But the real shock came that Auburn's offense was really not able to do anything against Georgia's defense. And it was an effort of, in futility almost, because, believe it or not, Auburn got the ball in the second half four times. And most of that obviously being because Georgia controlled the clock offensively. They ran the ball at will against Auburn, and it was just an altogether a dismal showing. So, going into the week against Samford, I don't know how much time Auburn will really spend on Samford. They'll probably spend most of their time trying to get ready for Alabama, but it kind of worries you about the mental state of this team after two straight losses, and losing in the fashion that we lost against Georgia. Going into Tuscaloosa, it certainly calls for concern.
Charlie, I want to ask you about Samford for a second, and more so their head coach, Pat Sullivan, who you've been friends with for a long time. I've had the privilege of knowing Pat for a number of years as well, and just have tremendous respect for him as a man and obviously as a football guy as well. His team has had another great year. They're not going to get into the playoffs, though. They'll wrap up their regular season on Saturday. We know Pat's not had great health the last few years, and while yeah. I think he is on the uptick, he's not as young as he was either. Do you think he's going to maybe coach his final game on Saturday against a school that he loves so much?
I think that might be the case. I really do, Chris. I think Pat's health, he's coaching from the press box most of the time, sometimes right. from a wheelchair, and it's just not the way that he would want to coach. I know that Pat's got a great will to win. He is one of the most competitive people that you'd ever meet, and to not be in a competitive environment, I know, would not suit him very well, and would not be what he would choose. But sometimes we have to make really difficult choices, and it would not surprise me very much at all, Chris, if that choice had to be made.
Charlie Trotman joining us here on Tide 99.1. All of our guests appear courtesy of the Budweiser Hotline, presented by Green Beverage. This weekend, we saw Georgia get Todd Gurley back for one game. And I talk about luck a lot, Charlie, in the game, in all sports, but in sure. college football. And people tend to think of that exclusively in the terms of what happened for Auburn last year against Georgia with a bounce such as the one that allowed them to come back and win the game against the Dogs. But to me, luck can occur in a bad way, just like what we saw Saturday. Here's Todd Gurley, hadn't played in four games, and he's back for the Auburn game and now he's not going to play the rest of the year. That's bad luck for Auburn. I'm not saying that they win that game if Todd Gurley doesn't play, but he brought an added dimension to their team that made the assignment for the Tigers that much more difficult on Saturday.
Well, it did. And Chris, Nick Chubb is also a kid that, as a true freshman, has just proven to be a handful for most teams to try to stop. He's a great tailback in and of himself. And then when Todd Gurley comes back and the crowd has that injection, that infusion of emotion, you know, it made it an electric environment for the Georgia fans. And, you know, once Quan Bray fumbled the punt, you know, they were the crowd was in the game and never was out of it again. And, you know, it was difficult. I'll tell you something that really is concerning, though, and I don't know any other way to say it than this, is Auburn, since the South Carolina game, their defense has been really, really poor. Well, they're running the same defense. They're running, you know, a 4-2-5, which, you know, is Ellis Johnson's defense, but they're staying in when they get against teams, for instance, like a Georgia. You know that Georgia is going to run the football. You know that the first rule of business, if you're going to stop Georgia, is to stop the run. Well, Auburn stayed in a four-man front with two linebackers, with only six people in the box the entire game. And there's no way. I mean, I don't know a lot about football, but there's no way to stop Georgia with six people in the box. They just can't do it. Not with those running backs. I guess the frustration is that to do the same exact thing that you've been doing in four prior games, where you're giving up 450 yards and 35 points and expect a different result, doesn't seem to be very plausible to me. And but instead of going man coverage, I mean, Georgia's got some really good receivers. Bennett's good. Malcolm Mitchell is good, but they're not, you know, Amari Cooper type receivers. So, you know, go man on the outside, bring an extra guy in, let your safeties play close to the line of scrimmage, and you know, challenge Georgia. But instead of doing that, they stayed in a six man front and got blistered. You know, it was no contest. It just was something that is very. I'm very quizzical about, because it just didn't make any sense.
Well, let me ask you this question. You're probably not going to be shocked the direction I'm going to go with it, but Will Muschamp didn't work out at Florida as the head coach, but there's nobody that knows what they're talking about that thinks this guy's not a good football coach. He is going to be very much in demand as a defensive coordinator next year. I think they'd be foolish if Texas A&M wasn't in the mix of those trying to talk to him. Maybe Steve Spurrier at South Carolina. Do you think Auburn might be gauging interest in him as well?
I do, Chris, I do. And I think it would be paramount for Coach Malzahn to try to, you know, find out exactly what Will Muschamp's contract said. I mean, you know, there are a couple of different ways a head coach's contract can read, and if it is in Will Muschamp's favor, then it reads that if he takes another job, then whatever his salary is, then Florida would only have to pay him the balance of that to equal his coaching salary that they owe him. So, you know, but if it's stated in his contract that if he takes another job, they don't have to pay him at all, then you may see Will Muschamp on ESPN or somewhere for a year. So I don't know what his contract says, but I would imagine that Gus Malzahn is reaching out to him to find out, and may have already done that. Now, one other thing that's kind of interesting is Tracy Rocker has never been a defensive coordinator, but Tracy Rocker is at Georgia now. You know, Auburn wanted Tracy Rocker to come, you know, back with Gus Malzahn. He offered Tracy Rocker a job, but Tracy took a job with the Titans in the NFL. So he's coached in the NFL. He's been under a lot of really good coaches. And I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn didn't go back to Tracy Rocker and maybe offer him a defensive coordinator's position and see if they could get him to come back from Georgia.
Charlie Trotman joining us here on Tide 99.1. Of course, Charlie, the former quarterback at Auburn, now co-host of his own daily show with Doug Amos in Montgomery, heard from 11 until 1 on sports radio, ESPN, The Ticket, there in the capital city. I know you were busy with the Auburn game, but before that, Alabama, Mississippi State. Give me your thoughts on the Crimson Tide and the Dogs, and is this the only time you think they're going to meet this year?
Well, that's an interesting proposition, and I think a lot of that will be partly determined tonight by the committee, seeing how far the committee drops Mississippi State. If the committee keeps Mississippi State in their top four, they're in my top four. If they keep them in the top four, then they could meet again, and it would be maybe improbable, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. I thought the thing that Mississippi State needed to do was to go into Tuscaloosa and do something early in the game to prove to themselves and to their fans and to all of the 100,000 people that were in attendance to get the crowd out of the game that they were there to play. And I didn't see that early on. What I saw is Alabama making all the different plays, whether it was defensive, mostly defensive plays early. But then, Alabama got the 19-0 lead, and it looked like that Mississippi State might be out of the ball game. And Mississippi State was able to generate a couple field goals and get themselves back in a position where if they did have a strong second half, that they could make a game out of it. But I was really impressed with Blake Sims. I thought that the drive that he had when Alabama was, Mississippi State had cut the lead to 6, I thought that was a championship drive. I thought that he was great during that drive. He, had two or three conversions with his legs, making some terrific runs, not finding anybody open and being able to get to the edge and scooting out of bounds and past the stakes for the first downs. I thought he was outstanding, and thought T.J. Yeldon looked like his old self. I was a little bit more impressed with T.J. Yeldon than I was with Derrick Henry. I was impressed again with, you can't help but be impressed with Amari Cooper, the great catch he made on the post route. Now, he did have a drop or two, but he just makes incredible plays. The reception he had for the touchdown in the end zone was an outstanding catch too, and that was an outstanding throw by Blake Sims. I also was impressed with Alabama's defensive front. I thought that they controlled the line of scrimmage. They didn't let Dak Prescott have any of those signature runs. Josh Robinson had a few runs that were impressive in and of themselves, but as a whole, Alabama did what they had to do as a defensive front to kind of control the tempo of the game. Mississippi State got a little offensive rhythm there at the end, but it was too little too late, and they had made the 3 turnovers. Alabama got the critical interceptions, you got to believe that Alabama defense is just getting better and better.
Last thing, and I'll let you run. The league gets beat up over weeks like this one on their schedule. Florida hosting Eastern Kentucky, Georgia hosting Charleston Southern, South Carolina with South Alabama coming in, Samford Auburn we talked about, and in Bama with Western Carolina. Should the SEC have to apologize for that, first of all? And second of all, as a player, how important are weeks like this to be able to get yourself tuned up for what's coming down the stretch?
I don't think that the SEC needs to apologize for anything. And you just look around the conference and you see, whether it be East teams playing West teams or the SEC West especially, having to go through that schedule of games and having to play everybody in the West and then 2 teams from the East, I think that that's the toughest road in the nation. I don't think there's any question about it. So to have a cupcake game, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think everybody needs a game like that. The players certainly need a game like that. And when I was a player, when you had a game like that, it was a game where you could go into it, you kept your timing, you got game, more game experience for a lot of players that were second and third team players, but it was a fun game as well. And sometimes football is fun. Now football is fun, but it's also a lot of work. And when you can have a game like that, and it's not a game where you have to go in and be on edge, and it's not nerve wracking, and that's fun for players as well as it is for fans. So, no, I don't think the SEC has anything to apologize for in that regard.